just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Wildcard Wednesday. You hear me, Wildcard Wednesday? Get your requests in now, any artist, any song, and a thing. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The weather outside is pretty frightful. We're still in the ice storm warning area throughout the early morning. So it has been just such a crappy winter so far between last week and what's going on now. And there's four more storm systems that are heading our way. So I thought we would get our minds on to stuff that we think are what we think is funny. So I got some articles here about the best stand-up specials and best stand-up recordings of all time. And I want to get into that. Who makes you laugh? What stand-ups do you think are hilarious? And specifically, what stand-up specials or recordings do you love? We'll get into that as well. We have an insane Blackhawks Express to play back as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. Okay, you hear Bill Withers, and you know what that means. That means it's Kevin Powell. He does the sports for us afternoons on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. He hosts the Powell at the Park podcast at WGNRadio.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And he joins us periodically just to have some fun and talk sports. And let's welcome Kevin back to the show. Hey, Kevin.
Nick D, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy, how you doing?
I've never been better, and Blackhawks are looking pretty good over the past couple weeks here, Nick, so it's giving us something to watch during these, as you mentioned, the nasty weather we've been dealing with. They've been playing better hockey.
I have to say, you know, I missed last night's game because I hosted a screening of Barefoot in the Park at my film club, but when we got out, when Dan and I got out and then turned the radio on, there was 4 minutes left in the third, and they had just scored five goals in 8 minutes.
I changed the channel for about 30 seconds, and I went back and go, what happened?
Yeah.
And it was just rapid fire. And, look, I mean, it's five straight wins now for them. And, look, they're going to have to really pull off something crazy to get to the playoffs. But at least it's sort of a sign of what new coach Jeremy Colleton wants to build with this Blackhawks team. So it's encouraging to see them playing well. It's kind of a glimpse of what this team can be on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, they played pretty well before the break, and then they've obviously played very well after the All-Star break. They're only, are 4 points behind Vancouver at this point?
I think it's, I have to take a closer look after last night's game, but, you know, they're not out of it.
And they're playing Vancouver tomorrow. So, you know,
that's right.
It should be a great game. It should be a really fun game, and they're at home, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think last time I talked to you, I just brought up Patrick Kane, and, I mean, the guy is unbelievable. He had another goal. He has more points now than he did all of last year. And last year wasn't really even necessarily a bad year for him, but with, 29 games to go, he already has more points than he did last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Alex DeBrincat now has 100 career points, fastest ever for a Blackhawk.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are so fun to watch. And Patrick Kane, I mean, is appointment viewing every night. He's doing this year is just unbelievable.
It is incredible. It's really incredible. And Taves has gotten it back. He was player of the game last night. And, you know, he's playing solid hockey. They all came together last night. Ward played fantastic.
Big saves.
And so, they've been playing really good hockey. It's been fun to watch them again. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with if they get into the postseason or whether or not they will or not, but they've been playing really terrific, very entertaining, fun hockey, and exciting stuff. So it's especially after such a horrible, you know, start for the season. It's fun to watch them now.
Yeah, the horrible start, and then the bear season comes to a screeching halt, and then we've got to wait till baseball. And the Bulls aren't doing anything, and everyone's kind of like, man, what are we going to watch?
Yeah,
you know, through this brutal stretch of winter. And. And now they've just been a blast to watch. They really have. So, I don't know. Hopefully, they can keep it going.
All right. And so let's talk a little bit of lots of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about your latest Powell at the Park podcast episode. You talked with Vinny Duber of NBC Sports Chicago, right?
We did. We basically just dedicated an entire episode to Manny Machado rumors because that's all it's really been this offseason. Machado and Bryce Harper, the two big free agents that have yet to sign. And I'm not all that surprised going into the offseason. Look, we saw it last year. Jake Arrieta didn't sign until days before pitchers and catchers reported. He didn't sign until February. And we're seeing it again now, and it sounds like it's maybe an agent standoff between Harper and Machado, and they're waiting for more money, and maybe they're not getting those $300 million offers that everyone was anticipating they were going to get, considering they're in the prime, considering how good of players they are. You know, I just think teams are sort of backing off these crazy mega deals that can hamper your salary cap and can hamper your team for years to come if you don't give yourself a good deal on both sides. So, you know, for so long, if a team gave out a bad contract, I mean, look at Albert Pujols' contract, look at Miguel Cabrera's contract. Yeah. Those are guys declining, and their pay is still astronomical. And we rip those teams. We rip the general managers every time a team does that. Now maybe we should applaud some of these teams that are saying, you know what, we're done with these $300 million contracts. It's just outrageous. And there are reports from Machado that the Sox had offered anywhere from 175 to 225. Maybe that's not what he was looking for. Maybe he wants more years. But bottom line is, I think the White Sox got a really good shot at Manny Machado. Bryce Harper seems to be linked to the Phillies. The Padres all of a sudden are in play for Machado. But, you know, I think it's Rick Hahn at Sox Fest said it would be a disappointment if they were not to land one of these two guys. So for him to say that basically confirmed, yes, they are in a conversation with both of these players. I think it does say something about where the Sox are as an organization, though, where you are getting a lot of reports that the Sox are legit finalists for these guys. I think it says where they're at. I think when you look at their farm system, where this team's headed for a long time, you know, I think they're kind of building a monster down there on the south side, similar to what the Cubs have done, similar to what the Astros have done. So I think it says a lot about where the Sox are at as an organization.
Now, since we're talking Sox, how was Sox Fest, man? I know you went to a bunch of panels. Tell me about Sox Fest and what you talked about and who you talked to and all that.
Yeah, Sox Fest was great. We did a show. Ro and Anna and the whole gang was out there. The Friday afternoon show, and we had the opening ceremonies going. We had Steve Stowe, Michael Kopech was there. Dylan Cease, who's one of their top pitching prospects at this point, he was out there. Darren Jackson, Ed Farmer, our broadcasters. So it was just a great weekend, a lot of fun. And one of my favorite parts of Sox Fest is they do this garage sale, which is it all benefits White Sox charities, but. Basically what it is, it's a bunch of like old swag, old jerseys, all sorts of White Sox memorabilia. So there was some pretty fun stuff in there. You could buy game worn pants for just $15. I thought that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
There was actually dirt that was the mound dirt from Michael Kopech's debut on the South Side in a little jar, and you could buy that. So that kind of gives you an idea of sort of the crazy, wacky things. And of course, there's like your official like White Sox stuff, but it's kind of a cool little area where I think a lot of people get a kick out of it. There's old helmets, old spikes, old cleats that players have worn. So it was just a great time. Sox do a great job of it, and we had a blast for a few days there.
And so now you did talk to Kopech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's recovering, right, from the Tommy John surgery. What's his progress, and how did he sound?
Well, he showed me his scar on his pitching elbow, and the way he described it, he said, "Gnarly, right, dude?" I go, "That is a gnarly scar, man." But he's doing well. He actually this week had his first throwing session since Tommy John surgery. The White Sox actually put out a little teaser Michael Kopech video on all their social media platforms and all that if you want to check it out. But he's already out at the in Glendale at the Sox training facility, and he's throwing this week, so that's an encouraging sign. Off flat ground, obviously not 100%, and they're going to ease him back into it. And he says right now the timeline is good. It's just more of a mental game at this point for these guys. I mean, they're all competitors at this point. They're professional athletes. It's hard to be on the sidelines, especially for a guy like Kopech, who's such a competitor. And I think for him, the big thing is just being patient, not pushing it too hard, and keeping the mental strength where you need it to be. But you know, the way the timeline worked out, he's going to miss the whole season, but should be back 110% by 2020. I know Sox fans can't wait.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the fans, what was the vibe like at the fest? Was everybody having a good time? Were the fans, like, excited and happy to be there and excited for the new season?
Well, it was sold out. It was jam-packed, Nick. I mean, we were at the Hilton. You know, you've been there. The Blackhawks have it there as well. And it was just Sox fans took over that weekend. And it was kind of a perfect weekend to hunker down in a hotel and think about baseball, because that was it was cold that weekend. It was nasty weather. It was great. And I thought last year's vibes were great, because that was when the Sox had entered full-blown rebuild mode, and a lot of Sox fans were behind it. We had Rick Hahn, the general manager, on as well. I had a chance to do a one-on-one interview with him as well. And, you know, everyone always thought the Sox couldn't do rebuild because there wouldn't be the support from the fan base, and that's just not the case. I think Sox fans, they love Rick Hahn. There are a bunch of "In Hahn We Trust" T-shirts that were being worn at Sox Fest.
That's cool.
Sox fans are all about it. Just try to stay patient. I think they're going to make some strides this season, especially if they get Machado or even Harper or another addition to this team. And then 2020, I think that's the timeline. I think everybody's expecting them to be right in the thick of things in the American League.
Yeah, how long before spring training begins?
Well, pitchers and catchers report next week already, and then the full squad workouts are about a week or so after that. So yeah, baseball's just about here, Nick. So I'll be out in Arizona next week. I can't wait to get in the desert and get out of this nasty weather. So
yeah.
Pitchers and catchers report for the Cubs and Sox a week from today.
A week from today. Wow, that's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, ice storms and 40 below. It's nice
right.
to think that spring training in baseball is so close.
Right. We
so
think
great.
About baseball and hot dogs and sunshine in a few months, I think.
That's
but
right.
Yeah.
All right, outstanding. And you're obviously going to do reports from Arizona, correct?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So we'll have podcasts, we'll have interviews, I'll have reports all afternoon with Ro from the ballpark. And I can't wait. Looking forward to getting out there.
All right, cool. Kevin, hang on, all right?
You got it, man.
All right, buddy. Kevin Powell is with us. We love Kevin. He's the best. And he does sports for us here on the afternoon show, the Rocon Show with Anna DeVellante. You can hear him every weekday afternoon. He hosts Powell at the Park podcast at WGNRadio.com. He's got blogs. You can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. A lot more sports to talk about. Coming up right after we take this break on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and coming up, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. All right, bear down, Chicago Bears. We got a little Bears talk here, a little NFL talk here, and because we're talking with Kevin Powell, who does sports for us in the afternoon show here, the Rocon Show with Anna DeVellante's every weekday afternoon. And you can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And we welcome Kevin back to the show. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. I love hearing the bear down to lead into this.
You know,
I think this town's back on the Bears train. The countdown to camp breaking for the Bears has begun.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we were on was right after the end of their season. Last time we had you on, and it couldn't have ended more tragically, as we've all been talking about. But let's talk about Vic Fangio. He left, and he's now the coach of the Broncos. And how do people feel about that? And how do people feel about his replacement?
Look, I think it's significant because the players loved him so much; they bought into his system. Obviously, he dialed up some great play calling and scheming for this defense. It was the best defense in the NFL. Guy was a class act. Players loved him. The coaching staff loved him. The team loved him. It's a great opportunity for him. I think a lot of people are happy for Vic Fangio. Chuck Pagano comes in, and I actually had a conversation with Jared Payton yesterday, and Jared Payton played at the University of Miami, and Chuck Pagano was coaching there at the time. And Jared Payton did not have enough great things to say about Pagano. He loves the guy, like, on and off the field. He had nothing but high praise. And, you know, I think for this defense, I think a lot of people just sort of want to see it not be messed with all that much because they were so great.
And I think
Pagano gets that. Pagano, in his introductory press conference, basically said it's more him adapting to them rather than the players adapting to his scheme. He says he's going to learn language, defensive play calling language that they used in the past. So it sounds like he's just trying to make this as seamless as possible. He wants it to be the best defense ever. That's what he said. And I think there's a lot of weapons here that show that if this team gets even better, the defense gets even better than it was last year, it's got a shot to being historically great. I really believe that. There are just so many playmakers on this defense. And just about everybody's going to be back. There's only a couple question marks for guys that are pending free agents that could go elsewhere. But for the most part, Khalil Mack's not going anywhere. Akeem Hicks isn't going anywhere. Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, these are guys that are staples on the defense now for the next few seasons, really. Because if you look at their contracts, they're locked up for a while. They've built a monster on that side of the ball. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a major drop-off because there is so much talent. And I think Chuck Pagano is basically the perfect fit to replace a Vic Fangio.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and, you know, and I know that despite the fact that the season ended the way it did, I don't think anybody, we talked about this before, I don't think anybody expected the Bears to play as well as they did this past season. And and I think they're going to build on that momentum come next season.
Yeah, I think a ton of the credit goes to Matt Nagy as well, head coach. He was named head coach, coach of the year over the weekend during the Super Bowl festivities.
Pretty cool.
It was very cool. And, you know, I think some Bears fans are slowly kind of getting over the Parkey double doink. But then when you're watching the Super Bowl, you're just kind of, I don't think there was a single Bears fan who didn't at least once think to themselves during that game, wow, Bears could have been here.
Yeah.
They could have realistically been here. And I think a lot of people, you know, believe that they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl next year and win it. That Matt Nagy says that's their goal, win the Super Bowl. So, look, I think the expectation should be a Super Bowl next year for the Bears. I really do.
That's great. That's great. And that's very cool that he was named Coach of the Year. That was great. And I think a lot of people think he deserves it.
Yeah, no question. I think the Bears were looking for a guy that could change the culture there and really change it and make it sustainable and make this thing lasting rather than just a year or two thing. This feels like something that's headed in a good direction for a long time. And I think a lot of that goes to Matt Nagy with the club dub thing, with the wins after games where they're doing the kind of what the Cubs had done with the disco ball and the fog machine and the dancing in the locker room. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the players like him.
Yeah.
You haven't heard a single bad thing about Nagy. They all seem to be buying in to what he's selling them. So I think Nagy deserves a ton of credit, and it seems sort of like a no-brainer for him to get. He took a team that went from worst to first and won a division title. And that was impressive. You go 12-4 in your first year, change a lot of things. But, you know, a lot of big-time expectations next season.
Very cool. And also, just to wrap that up, 7 Bears were named to the Pro Bowl. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. You know, Mitch Trubisky, I don't know if he necessarily played at a Pro Bowl level, but after certain players were in the NFC Championship game and some guys dropped out, it's great for him. I think it's a great experience. Mitch Trubisky said when he got the phone call from Matt Nagy, he didn't believe him. But it's, I think it's just a great experience for those guys to all go. And, you know, first-time Pro Bowl guys. I think for me, next year, the biggest, well, first of all, fixing the kicker problem is priority number one this offseason.
<Right. Yes. laughs>
But, you know, you look at the last four teams standing, it was the Patriots, the Rams, the Saints, and the Chiefs. Those were your top four scoring offenses in the NFL. And I realize it turned into a defensive game in the Super Bowl. Nobody was expecting that one touchdown in that game with those two offenses.
Yeah.
But I think the trend is still offense in the NFL. We saw a game that had over 100 points scored earlier in the season with the Rams and Chiefs. One of the best regular season games I've ever seen. It was so much fun. My point is that the Bears' offense was good this year. It wasn't great. They've got to make strides. They've got to be near the top offensively next season if you want a realistic run throughout the playoffs. Because the offense wasn't good enough in the wild card game. Defense almost bailed them out. But, you know, the offense made a lot of strides. Keep in mind that was a first-year system for Mitch Trubisky with Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy came in with a complex offense. It's not not a simple cookie cutter offense. So strides need to be made by the Bears offense next season.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of the Super Bowl? We'll wrap it up with that.
Yeah, you know, it was just sort of it was not what we were expecting to see. I was expecting to see a high-scoring game. I was expecting a close game, and it was. It was 3-3 with 7.5 minutes left in the game in the fourth quarter. But what I wasn't surprised at seeing was how the way the Patriots stay patient. They always seem to be calm because they've played in a million Super Bowls, and Bill Belichick and Brady have seen everything. And they just really don't make mistakes. Jared Goff threw an interception late in that game, and that's just about sealed it. And they just kind of always seem to be in control of games. And expecting a more high-powered, explosive offensive game, but not all that surprising to see Brady remain patient, make just enough throws late in that game to seal off Super Bowl number 6 for Brady and Belichick.
Yeah. I was underwhelmed by the game, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. It wasn't like it wasn't the most exciting game or the most fun game. I wasn't bored. I mean, I'm a football junkie too, though, and I love the sport. So yeah. For me, it wasn't like difficult to watch. But I get if you're not all in on it, it was probably pretty boring for you.
Yeah, it was. And let's not even mention the halftime show.
Oh, jeez, right. What a disaster! We were talking how that's sort of turning into like hosting the Oscars. Nobody's going to want to do it anymore. You can't win.
It's true. It's absolutely true. All right, Kevin, always a lot of fun to talk to you, man. And you're covering sports for us here on WGN on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis every weekday afternoon. And you can check out your podcast at WGNradio.com. You can follow you on Twitter at KPaul720. Always a pleasure to have you on the show there, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You're the best, Nick. Really appreciate having me.
All right, see you later, buddy. There you go.
All right.
Kevin Powell, everybody. We'll be back after this.